will work just fine.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to be talking about a creative strategy that was put together to increase healthcare access to the underserved population in Los Angeles County. And we used health education and through use of several of the consulates that we have in LA. So I have no relationships to disclose from this event. The learning objectives for this presentation are that to describe a creative strategy to increase healthcare access for underserved Latino people, identify two venues to facilitate health information, education, and communication among Latino populations, describe three strategic components to the Road to Health initiative, and identify three health promotion and disease prevention topics offered through this initiative. Los Angeles County has 10 million residents. It's divided into eight geographic areas called service planning areas. I currently work in the one that's in the center, Spa 4, and even though it looks small, it has 1.4 million residents there. So you can tell we have a lot of people. We have a lot to do. According to the LA Census Bureau in 2004, 47% of LA residents were Latino. And the projection is that that by the year 2030, we will have, or by 2050, we will have 7 million Latino residents, and that will make up 62% of the population in Los Angeles. This slide shows an idea of the combination of where the Latino population comes from in Los Angeles County. As you can see, Mexico is our number one, has the most residents. El Salvador and Guatemala are the next two. So the goals of this initiative, and this was a pilot project that we put together, is to inform and facilitate access to healthcare services to the Latin American population in Los Angeles County, and to educate Latin American population about health promotion and disease prevention and control. The components of the initiative consisted of information dissemination and referrals to the Latin American population about free and low-cost health services and insurances in Los Angeles County, provide education to the Latin American community about risk factors, morbidity, mortality, and preventative health, and the provision of educational materials for use in health education activities. And we also developed collaborations with Latin American consulates, non-governmental organizations, TV stations, universities, and schools. We gave technical assistance to the consulates that we were working with, and organization, administration, monitoring, and evaluation was also a piece of that. This is a picture of some of our external partners. We did some mega health fairs, and one of our non-governmental agencies did a lot of our health fairs, and once a year we had what was called a mega health fair, where we invited our 10 Latin American consulates to join us. And these are pictures of some of the consul generals and their staff. We did a collaboration with external partners. The 10 Latin American consulates that we worked with were the consulates of Belize, Colombia, Costa Rica, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, Nicaragua, and Peru. We worked with community-based organizations, non-governmental organizations, and private voluntary organizations. We worked with the TV stations, radio stations, and the press that worked with the Latino population, preschools and elementary schools. We were working with the parents to educate them, and universities, where our universities were our we would have students that would come in and help us with some of our evaluation, and we also had some that would volunteer to help us with our health education. So using all of these folks was a resource for mobilization by building partnerships with these consulates. We were able to create needs assessments and education assessments, and it gave us teaching space for captive audiences, because at these consulates, people are already there for other reasons, and so they're not going to leave. And we found that that became very – they ended up getting an extra thing when they came in, because they were able to get health education and resources if they needed to go places for health – for health care. We had mobile vans that did our health fairs for us, that would do screenings for blood sugar, cervical cancer, mammographies, blood sugar screenings. And then the internal partners that we had were our nutrition and physical activity programs, our health education administration, environmental management, Office of Women's Health, and our STD program, and our public health nurses. Each of them would do, many of the first ones would help us with our health education and information dissemination in regards to different health diseases. Our public health nurses did some of the work at our health fairs, but they also did some of the flu outreaches that we did at our consulates. So the Road to Health project started in 2002. And this is a slide that shows the progression of the number of people that we saw that we were giving health education information to from 2002 to 2005. And the presentations would last from 30 minutes to an hour with pre-test and post-test to see how much they had learned from the health education. And we also had time where people could come up individually and ask individual questions. Quite often they were either looking for someplace to go for healthcare services. We did do some questions when we were working with the Mexican consulate, and we were asking people in a one-year period where they accessed healthcare. And most of them, 54%, said that they would go to a community clinic or a private doctor, and then 33% was a private doctor. And then we asked how many people had actually access to health care. And as you can see, 48% of the people that were interviewed had no health care coverage, which is a really big issue in Los Angeles. Because people don't know, not only do they not know where to go, but they don't have, you know, many of the people that we were seeing are not here legally, and we don't ask whether they're legal or they're not legal, but in order to get health care coverage, you need to be here. So that's a very big issue in Los Angeles. And then we went through and we were trying to figure out confirmation status of their insurance. And that was a more difficult thing for us to do. 24% had confirmed enrollment. 53% had education. Applications were sent in, but we were not able to confirm the status of their enrollment because usually we only saw them once, and we didn't have the staff to follow up to find out whether they had actually got and were enrolled. Because we just didn't have the manpower to do that. And then only 23% got education on where they could go for enrollment. So the venues for our presentations were our consulate waiting rooms, which was a captive audience. People would come in, and they had to wait to be serviced for whatever else they were doing. And so those people would rotate through, and as they rotated through, we would be talking to more people. Parents of school-aged children, we would go into many of the preschools, talk about lead prevention, safe meds, and then also the elementary schools, too. Latin American TV stations, radio stations, and the press, where we would do small health segment blurbs to talk about a variety of different issues that rotated through. Agencies that work with the Latino population, and health fairs and farmers markets. The health fairs, we would see anywhere from 250 to 500 people, and then our mega health fair, like the one that I showed you just a few minutes ago, The last one we had, we had about 3,000 people at that. So here's a couple of pictures of the health fairs and some of the booths. Our program was on the right, and our public health nurses, were on the left. We had a multitude of health education topics that we went through and rotated depending on what time of the year it was, what was a prevalent thing that was happening at that time. But whenever we did our healthcare act, whenever we did our presentations, healthcare access and public charge were always talked about, knowing that a lot of people are not familiar with public charge, what services they can and cannot access without being a hindrance to their being accepted into the country. And then, like during flu season, we would talk about flu prevention, how to keep from getting sick, cover your cough, tuberculosis, hypertension, and we would do several topics at one time. Like we could do nutrition and physical activity, or we could do cholesterol and diabetes, but healthcare access and public charge were always, always at the top of the list. So these are a few of the questions for our pre and post test. This is a sample for tuberculosis. And the first question was, if the tuberculosis test comes out positive, does this mean that you surely have tuberculosis? The pretest was 38% right response, and after the after the class was over, 53%. So there was an increase in knowledge for most of the information that was handed out. And this shows, according to the consulates, the percentage of increase in knowledge that was done per country. The red is the pretest, and the yellow is the post-test. And the average knowledge improved from 17 to 41%. And then this is another slide that shows the percentage per consulate of increased knowledge. So our lessons learned from this project were: facilitation to access healthcare services can be done effectively in non-medical clinical settings, example at the consulates, at farmers markets, and at schools. The Road to Health initiative at the consulates reflected a multiplying effect of dissemination of health information reaching thousands of people in other areas, because people would get the information from us, they would take it home and share it with their neighbors and friends and relatives. The Road to Health showed the importance of having multidisciplinary teams able to adapt to different scenarios and schedules. Sometimes we had to change schedules around. Some of the consulates were smaller than others, so if there weren't many people, they would move from one to the other one. Appropriate funding is not the limiting factor to launching interventions, but the political will by all parties is needed to make it happen. And administration or organization monitoring and evaluation must be in place from the beginning of the project. This is one of the awards that we got from the City of Los Angeles for one of our mega health fairs. And the outcomes of our project were that 6.1 million Hispanics were reached through educational TV messages weekly and monthly. 1.5 million Central Americans were reached through educational TV messages weekly and monthly. 130,000 people were informed and educated at the 10 Latin American consulates in Los Angeles County just in 2006. One out of four people reached at the consulates are accessing the healthcare system, which were confirmed numbers. Two out of four reached are accessing the healthcare system, and that was estimated numbers. There was a 100% increase above the objective of enrolling 10% of eligible individuals into the public benefits program. There was an increase of healthy kids enrollment from 14.3% to 31%, and there was an increase in knowledge after interventions from 30% to 60%. 8,000 to 10,000 people were seen at health fairs per year. The Mexican government assigned $30,000 to support the educational intervention Camino a la Salud, the Ventanilla de Salud, in 2007. And there was 100% engagement with memorandums of understanding through 2007 of the 10 Latin American consulates, countries in health activities through their ministries of external relations and their general consulates. And this is a picture of the folks that worked hard to make it all happen. So, are there any questions that I can answer? Or is there time for questions, or we do it afterwards?
I was thinking we should do them afterwards.
At the end, that's fine.
Okay. Do you have your contact info?
I do. Not on a slide, but I have my cards.
Okay. And you had perfect timing.
Oh, good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So now we welcome Graciela.
This one, right?
Yes.